This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, there's Louis Tomlinson back to you, featuring Bebe Rexha and the Digital Farm Animals. Shame, he's really scraping the bottom of the barrel to get some collaborators on this song. But he is the one who hasn't released the song yet. This is his first proper solo offering.
Yeah,
we confused him. It's Liam Payne who's dating Cheryl Cole, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And long story short, Liam was like 12. Cheryl was in her 20s when they met.
12, yeah.
And now they're officially together. But Louis also has a kid, and I don't know with whom. But anyway, that doesn't matter.
All right, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Let's get to the burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Here it is, Justice Malala, just for you and your listening pleasure on a Thursday morning. Everything you need to know. CliffCentral.com. Justice Malala is here. It is time for the burning platform. Every Thursday morning, we check in on the most important stories in the news, and it is brought to you by the people who bring you the hottest stuff you can buy to make your stomach happy. That's Nando's. You can get the hot, you can get the lemon and herb, you can get the extra hot, you can get the mild. It all depends on your taste. This morning, I think we'll cover a lot of those different tastes, as we do every day. And they've also got all kinds of other exciting products. They're celebrating a whole 30 years of Nando's this year.
Jeepers. That's quite amazing.
It is.
I remember the first time I had Nando's in the 1990s. And this guy, my girlfriend at the time, was sharing a house with this guy. And this guy went out and got, I think, 3 full chickens cut up 8 ways. Oh, my word. It was life-changing. See, I don't laugh. It was actually life-changing. Cheap. Yeah, 30 years, huh?
Speaking of life-changing, there was a guy who used to be a humble member of the Youth League. And suddenly he's taking 680,000 rand holidays to Dubai. And he thinks it's very unfair of us to question why or who would have paid for these things.
You know what I find really weird? It's that if I'm sitting here and I say, hey, we're going on holiday. And you say, who's going to pay for it? And I say, don't worry, I'm paying for it. Uh-huh. But if we turn around and you say, I'm paying for it, in a year's time, I come through here and I say, oh, who paid for that holiday? My man, if you paid 650,000 rand out of your own pocket, you'd remember that you paid for that thing. But our Minister of Finance was first sent the questions. Sorry, our Minister of
Police.
What's he now? Police. Fikile Mbalula was sent questions more than a month ago by Barry Bateman at Eyewitness News. He was told, guy, here are the questions. I'm just asking the questions. Who paid for this? He said, no, you're impugning me. Or how dare you? This is a smear campaign. Instead of saying, oh, no, my family paid for it, or I paid for it. So this thing goes on for months and months. And then finally, these guys decide we're going to publish and we're going to tell the world that actually, we found that there's this company which provides clothing to one of the sports committees. And
was it that horrible tracksuit that we saw our Olympic athletes wearing? Was it that?
People have been saying that's the tracksuit.
And that's the reason we had to go cheap on the tracksuits.
While the minister was living it up in Dubai, okay, we were going, I mean, our athletes looked horrible in that thing. It was terrible. But look, I'm not sure if that's the company that did that particular outfit, but it's one of those guys. So the minister says we mustn't ask questions about this, but we must ask questions about it because, first of all, if a minister gets a gift from someone who also stands to benefit from the minister's work, and this is when the minister was the Minister of Sport, then it should have been declared as a gift in the members register in parliament. It should have been declared at the very least to the president of South Africa that, look, these guys are paying for me. I just need you to know that this is what's happening. But none of that happened. So Minister Mbalula now has only one way to defend this. It's if it did not happen. Now, if the invoices are there, and they seem to be there, and they show at least 300,000 of that 650,000-680,000 rand was paid for by this company, then we have a problem here. The minister did not declare, and on the basis of that, he should resign or should be fired, or else there will be, in fact, there could be criminal charges. Because you'll remember way back, and Jacob Zuma will remember this, and I know he's listening, way back in 2003, 2004, Tony Yengeni,
Mercedes-Benz.
Exactly.
The Yengeni Benz.
The Yengeni Benz, which he took the reporter at the time. He gave him a little ride and says, it goes like a jet.
Yeah, and that car actually became known as the Yengeni.
The Yengeni, yes. If you drive one, even today, people say, oh, he drives a Yengeni. There you go.
But so, this has also happened already to Fikile Mbalula. I mean, we know about that Mayweather trip that was taken to Vegas with Thibaut Touch.
And
didn't Botswana, who's been killed since then, he was the guy who paid for it?
Yes, now we've got court papers there. But let me, before we get to that, so what you have here is that it might be a discount, because with the Yengeni, he took a discount. Mm. He was sitting on the committee in parliament that was making the decision about arms procurement. The company that was owned Mercedes-Benz in South Africa was also bidding on that committee. So they come to him and say, oh, here's a discount. Do you think when they arrive in parliament in front of the committee, they're going to get a hard time after that discount, or they're going to get an easy time? Uh-huh. And he went to jail for that.
That's right, he did.
He went to jail for that. So if you don't declare that you got a little bit of something something, then you'll go to jail for that.
And that was just as an MP. Imagine how much more emphasis is put upon it by the courts if you're a minister.
Exactly. So the minister now only has one leg to stand on, and it's to say, I did not get my holiday paid for by this company, because if he did, and they got work from the Department of Sport and Recreation, then the conflict is jarring. And if I was Tony Yengeni, and I know he's listening from the Cape, I would be jumping up and down and saying, comrades, I went to jail. Why aren't others going to jail for this stuff? So I think a conversation needs to happen. And I think Fikile Mbalula is in trouble. And he might be in trouble not for the gift itself, but for even denying the gift, for the cover-up.
Perjury.
Exactly. So there are all sorts of things there. Then it's the case that you're talking about, Gareth. And these are just court papers in which it's alleged that the minister received 1 million rand to go and watch the Floyd Money Mayweather fight. Now, you know, many of us have been wondering, this question has been asked for a long time, where does the minister get the budget? Is it government that's paying for him to go to all these fancy Las Vegas fights, or what's going on? Mm-hmm. And it turns out this allegation is serious. Mr. Botswana was a businessman in the Northwest. He got assassinated on the highway into Pretoria on the N4N1 interchange, and many questions have been asked, because Mr. Botswana was alleging that he was exposing corruption in tenders, and that is how he many people say that's why he was killed. Now, there are two aspects of this story. I don't know if the Minister of Police now, the Minister of Sport then, did receive this money. We'll wait to see what evidence comes out of it. But there are two things.
Is this yet to go to court?
This is yet to go to court. So we'll see what evidence comes about that this money was indeed channeled to the minister. But I think politically, there are two things out of it. the minister needs to explain. He can't get away with saying, oh, no, it's private. Oh, no, it's this. Oh, no, 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 no. He needs to explain. Otherwise, essentially, the kudos that he received, you know, I'm very partial, if you will, to Fikile Mbalula, despite all the outrageous utterances he makes and so forth. I'm partial for him because he was the man way back in 2011 who went to the National Executive Committee of the ANC and said, guys, why was I told by the Guptas that I'm going to be sports minister? Why wasn't I told?
According to those reports, he was crying.
He was crying at the NEC of the ANC. 110 people in the room. And you know what? A lot of what we know now came from that confrontation that he had at the time. And I have to say, you know what? I owe him, we all owe him, some gratitude for that. But he needs to explain what's going on with all these allegations of him receiving money. And exactly how he comes by that money, because he's the top cop in this country. He's not a cop, but he's the top law enforcer in this country. If he is now going to go the route of Jackie Silebi, of, who was the gentleman from KwaZulu-Natal who allegedly got, Bekicele and so forth. We have a problem here. I don't want to see our police minister in chains going down, but if he doesn't explain himself properly, he's going to go down. And this, it's a real issue. The second one is just for our view, for our listeners to enjoy. And it is the fact that, you know what, when Julius Malema says something in our political firmament, you must take that guy seriously, because he said, ooh, it looks like our narcissistic minister is about to be implicated in murder as well. And lo and behold, who is narcissistic? I mean, I don't think liking Twitter is not narcissistic, but I think he was talking about this very case that is now blowing up with the court papers and the allegations of 1 million rand from Botswana to the Minister of Police. So we'll see how that one pans out. But Julius Malema, watch those tweets, man. The man knows he's got deep, deep sources inside the ANC and government.
Speaking of the ANC and government, I saw Gwede put out the delegate numbers the other day. And were there any surprises? Are these delegate numbers going to reinforce any single candidate's presidential ambitions?
Yes, those numbers were interesting because D.D. Mabuza, David Mabuza, the chair of the ANC in Mpumalanga, the premier of Mpumalanga, has now become pretty powerful in the ANC. We've all been talking about how KwaZulu-Natal is the big kahuna. It's got the big numbers, and it still has. But one of the interesting developments is that Mpumalanga used to be, I think, fifth in the rankings of most members and delegates to conference. It's shot up from number five to number two.
Sure.
So that means that...
And they're allowed to just do this, to expand the numbers like that?
Well, we should be asking questions on some deep ones, because in 2015 December, Mpumalanga was not this powerful. Just a year and a half later, Mpumalanga has gone from Mr. Lightweight to heavyweight player in this thing. How did they get so many members in so short a time? D.D. Mabuza says himself, look, I've worked hard, he says. I've worked hard to grow and consolidate and unify the ANC in Mpumalanga. Now, you and
altruistic.
So lovely. You and I will know that in KwaZulu-Natal, there was an investigation. There were allegations that there were 200,000 fake members in KwaZulu-Natal. You will know that 4 weeks ago, there were 4,000 memberships that were being investigated in just one region, which were said to have suddenly come through in one day with some fake bank stamps for the 20 rand that people have to pay to be a member of the ANC. So It's legitimate to ask that question. How did Mpumalanga do it? But the ANC seems to have accepted those numbers. And so Mpumalanga is now number two and therefore has huge sway. The key is that Mpumalanga has sway because Mpumalanga is no longer the darling or no longer views Nkosa Zana Dlamini Zuma as its darling. Mm. It views Zweli Mkhize as a bit of a darling. David Mabuza says we need a unity candidate, someone who will kick off this two, Nkosa Zana Dlamini Zuma and Cyril, and be our guy and unite the ANC. And he thinks that is Zweli Mkhize. And of course, he thinks that he would be the right deputy president for Zweli Mkhize. What that does is that, as we discussed a few weeks ago, the Premier League is dead in the water. Because if the Premier League had the numbers with a bit of KZN, the whole of Mpumalanga, Northwest Free State, they would have about 1,900 members out of the 5,200. All they'd need now is to eat into bits of every other province that Cyril Ramaphosa has support in. We know that they've got some support in the Northern Cape, Gauteng. Then they would have 86 votes from the Youth League, 86 from the Women's League, maybe the Veterans League. They would easily make up just over 50%, maybe even 55-60% of that. But Mpumalanga walking away means that that whole campaign collapses. So the real fight now, I think, is between Zweli Mkhize, if he gets absolute stamp of support from Mpumalanga, and Cyril Ramaphosa. Zweli Mkhize is eating into the Ramaphosa faction as well, because he's got people like Paul Mashatile saying, oh, maybe we do need a unity
and
candidate.
And the unity message is a much stronger message
it's a very powerful message. Yeah.
Okay, but then I've heard people saying, it was a member of an opposition party, I think, who said that actually Zweli Mkhize is the real Zuma candidate.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that. There are two people who've said that. The first one is Professor Butler from the University of the Western Cape, who has written a book on Cyril Ramaphosa, which came out about 3 years ago. It's a very good book. He said that, this is the candidate that Jacob Zuma has always wanted. The other person is Bantu Holomisa.
That's it.
And Bantu Holomisa says, yeah, you're getting the Zuma candidate is now coming through. That's the Zuma candidate. Julius Malema said 6 months ago that all of you are talking, but watch Mpumalanga. That will be the kingmaker. And he's been right about that. And he said, that will be the kingmaker, and they may go for the original Zuma candidate, and that would be Zweli Mkhize. But I suddenly panicked and said, did I miss something here? So I went back into history and looked at Zweli Mkhize and said, was he really the Zuma candidate? Zuma and Mkhize were very close in exile. In Zimbabwe, they lived next to each other. That's how they became, Mkhize became involved in the Kwezi case, because these were three families which were pretty much together in exile. But the Zweli Mkhize presidential campaign actually goes back to 2001. When just before the ANC conference in Stellenbosch in 2002, the KZN province said, we haven't had an ANC leader from KwaZulu-Natal since Albert Luthuli in the 1950s, and we believe that our time is coming. And it was a guy called, who's passed away sadly, Dumisane Makaye, who was one of the ANC provincial leaders. He said at the time, Zweli Mkhize, we believe, will be the next leader of the ANC, and we are setting him up to be the leader of the ANC in 2012 or 2017.
That long ago.
2001. This is in the run up to the 2002 ANC conference. So the Zweli Mkhize ticket goes back that long. At that time, Jacob Zuma was the deputy president of the ANC, and the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal didn't want him to ascend. They wanted Zweli Mkhize to ascend.
Wow.
So there's been a narrative all along.
And he has widespread support in KZN.
He's always had widespread support. He's always been seen as the guy who's going to be next. The Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma ticket was the Jacob Zuma ticket when Jacob Zuma realized that things are not going too well for him and he may face trial. On the 5th of April, 2014, just 9 days before the ANC, before the national election in 2014, Jacob Zuma called a press conference. It was a Monday, and Jacob Zuma spoke for 2 hours at the press conference, touching on all sorts of things and da-da-da. And then he said, out of the blue, it's time for a woman to lead the ANC. And that, in my view, that is when the penny had dropped that, you know what, I need someone who will protect me. And from then on, Jacob Zuma has been working on the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma ticket and thereby kicked out or shoveled out Zweli Mkhize from then. He did not want Zweli Mkhize.
So do you think that Bantu Holomisa is scaremongering, or do you think he has knowledge that we don't have?
Maybe he has some knowledge, but I would like to have a conversation with him about what's he bringing to the table that he makes this allegation. And Professor, what's his name? Guy Butler, I think. Yeah. Why they believe that this is the real Zuma candidate. I'm not convinced on the basis of what I'm seeing. Jacob Zuma in 2014, and now we are in 2017, has been running that campaign, has wanted that campaign, has pushed for it, has run around the country trying to get people into ANC positions who will support the Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma candidate. My view is that on August 5th, when we went to the ANC policy conference, he realized that my campaign is falling apart, and that's because Didi Mabuza was prevaricating. I think that's when he realized, and that's when Jacob Zuma stood up at the end of the policy conference and said, we need to find a solution. And that solution may be that whoever wins...
The deputy has to come from the other party.
Yes, the loser must become the deputy.
Now this is interesting too, because we had Zweli Mkhize in here a while ago.
Mm.
And, you know, it's ANC protocol to not make yourself abundantly, obviously, available as the next president. But there were absolute intimations that this was something he was interested in.
Yeah.
And if he has been of this mind since 2001, he may have been playing the cleverest game of all.
Yeah.
What kind of a candidate, what kind of a president might he make if he is victorious? Would he be a unifier in terms of bringing the best possible people in? Would he just try to appease all the factions? Would he be someone who would continue some of the bad policies and legacies of this administration? Mm. Do we have any idea?
We have some idea. There are two things. You're absolutely right. So there's Zweli Mkhize, president of South Africa, and Zweli Mkhize, president of the ANC. One of the things about the old school ANC, even your Pravin Gordhan, so Mcebisi Jonas's, who've been very, very strong against Jacob Zuma and so forth. Those guys across the board, none of them wants to see a split in the ANC. They don't even want a splinter, as happened with Cope. What they want is unity. And there are many of them, and I believe Zweli Mkhize is one of them, who will go for unity of the ANC at all costs. So I believe that as president of the ANC, he will aim to prevent a split or a splinter. He will try and accommodate your Pravin Gordhan's, your Your Mcebisi Jonah says, even your Makosi Kosas, he might say, look, let's sit down and talk. But one other thing he'll do is, I believe, is to protect Jacob Zuma. We don't have a declaration of immunity in South Africa, but I think that there would be some attempt by him to say, look, the Jacob Zuma years have come and gone. We need to find a way for Jacob Zuma to have a quiet exit and to go away so that we can continue with the ANC and bring it back to its glory.
Like a presidential pardon, like Ford gave Nixon.
Some sort of pardon of that nature.
Now, if that happened, would the prosecutorial authorities abide by that decision, or would it become a matter of private prosecution? Because there is a debt to be paid.
Yes. Without a certificate from the NPA, the private prosecution can take place. But I don't know the legal mechanics of a pardon, because you have to pardon a transgression. If there's no transgression, what are you pardoning? What are you forgiving?
So in other words, it would have to go to court first.
It would have to go to court first. Is there some other legal mechanism that can be used, some kind of immunity? I don't know. It's something that one would have to, and Richard Popluck,
we know we're very forgiving people in South Africa.
Yes, we are.
Particularly the majority in this country who have put up with a lot and have forgiven a lot.
Mm.
We had a TRC which tried to assuage these deplorable things in some way, mopping up some of the blood.
But we
do live in a society of extremely forgiving people.
Yes. But
do you think civil society would be happy with that? Would it not threaten the balance of power within the ANC yet again? And
I think there would be widespread condemnation, opposition to a failure to declare what's went on.
But it might provide all kinds of balance and stability, because that would mean,
well, we forgive Jacob Zuma, so we can forgive the guys who didn't go before the TRC, weren't followed up, and so forth.
I'm talking about how then Julius remains an adamant, what would you call him, a protagonist against the administration.
Mm.
And that the DA continue to occupy some middle road.
So there's still an enemy for them to go up against. Yes, it sets it up nicely. And for the opposition, these are happy days. They are happy days because no matter which way you go, Jacob Zuma as a player in the political environment means that they have something to beat the ANC up about through to 2019. Mm-hmm. And that means that Julius will probably go from 8% to 10, 12% maybe, break the double digit ceiling. That Musi Maimane will go from 27% and maybe might make his target of above 30%. And that is a very seductive thing for Jacob Zuma to stay on. But I think Zweli Mkhize would want something that makes the Jacob Zuma years disappear so that he can start afresh and lead the ANC into elections in 2019 without too much Jacob Zuma going on. I think, you know, many people say the ANC hasn't learned its lesson, but I think people like Mkhize realize that the loss of Johannesburg, the loss of Tshwane, means without a shadow of doubt, if Jacob Zuma, his shadow hangs over the elections in 2019, Gauteng is gone. And if Jacob Zuma is a player, and by that I mean that Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma is president of the ANC, then a huge change in fortunes lies ahead for the ANC. So as a president of the ANC, I think he'll try for some of those. I don't know how it would pan out exactly, and there will be pushback from civil society, from NGOs and so forth, but I think he would try to get rid of the Jacob Zuma years and unify the ANC.
And what of the networks of patronage, and what of the detritus left in the wake of that administration, because Jacob Zuma is just one man.
If he comes through because of the Premier League, well, two of Ace Magashule's sons work for the Guptas. What does he do about that? The pressure will be on him. So one of the things about the bargains that are struck now is that whoever strikes those bargains must know that they're going to hobble them in office immediately after the 20th of December and they leave as ANC president, but they owe someone. Cyril Ramaphosa, for example, has made a bargain with the trade unions. It means that the trade unions will remain powerful, and particularly the civil service trade unions, NAHAU, will remain powerful in government and will continue to get nice increases, and that has an impact on the budget. So all of them have something that they stand to lose if this goes on. So I think that Zulim Khiza will try to for some unity, but those are issues that will come up. And if he comes through on the unity ticket, it means that he has to keep those patronage networks going. And so that will have an impact on him as president of South Africa, because the fight against corruption will be hobbled by those bargains that he has struck.
And will again eat away at the ANC's support.
Exactly. So it looks like you've managed to get me to a point where whatever the ANC does, the ANC stands to lose down the line.
Because it's a zero-sum game.
Yeah. It didn't excise all the problems that it had early on. And so the Jacob Zuma, the 10 years of Jacob Zuma as ANC president, the shadow of that will linger for a long while to come.
Just one quick thing before you go. The DA has a new leader in the Western Cape. I'm tempted to say who cares, but I didn't know. Tell us. Who is it?
It's Bonginkosi Madikizela.
Okay, Madikizela.
Yes, Bonginkosi Madikizela is an interesting guy. He's very close to Helen Zille. He said in his closing speech at the conference on Saturday at the weekend that he wants to unify the party. He said that a lot of people are frustrated with the party in the Western Cape, and that he wants to bring back the young and so forth for some enthusiasm in it. I think one of the things that maybe we should discuss it next week or the week after, whenever, is you earlier on spoke about Bantu Holomisa. Yeah. And his comment about the ANC succession race. One of the things I find interesting about Bantu Holomisa is that everyone I know, all my friends, and this is not scientific, it's an anecdotal thing, but all my friends, I mean, here we are sitting in here, everyone voted for Bantu Holomisa. If you ask people at your dinner party, who did you vote for? And everyone says, oh, Bantu Holomisa.
He's one of the few people they're not embarrassed to admit they did vote for, and will lie and say they voted for, even if they didn't.
But the numbers don't show that this fine gentleman who stands for all the right things actually gets any votes whatsoever. So the DA, I find interesting that it had this conference in the Western Cape. It had Bonginkosi Madikizela is the new leader and he'll likely become the premier in 2019 if they win in the Western Cape, which I expect them to do. What I find interesting is that the ANC is growing through absolutely the worst thing. The state capture, the Zuma, there's Mbalula scandals, all sorts every week. Why is it, and this is a question for the entire opposition, how is it that the ANC still manages to win and win in local municipalities and elsewhere? And I think the next 2 years, the next 18 months or so in the run-up to the 2019 election, if the opposition cannot answer this question, why we remain such an ANC-dominated polity, then the ANC and its history and its machinery will win again in 2019. I think that the DA, instead of having fights in the Western Cape, where it's been, where Patricia de Lille, JP Smith, other people have been suspended, where it's having fights, to some measure in the Eastern Cape, this is when they should be striking. Mm. And to be honest, they're not quite there. Even Julius Malema, we talk about him in relation to the ANC. Where is he saying, this is what we are going to do? I don't see enough of that. And so I think that's a big question for the opposition. And it's, are you really taking advantage of the ANC's problems right now? Because the ANC might be able to fix itself. Not many people believe it. But if the ANC is unable to fix itself, where's the opposition?
Justice, that's all we got time for this week, but we will see you again next week.
Absolute pleasure. I might go out and get myself a Nando's now.
There we go.
Feeling a bit peckish.
The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's every week on cliffcentral.com. All right, it's heading up towards 8 o'clock in the morning, cliffcentral.com. I hope you're having a good Thursday. We're going to check in a moment or two with Kellogg's. You know, we've been doing that brand new day over the last couple of weeks, and we've been trying to figure out ways to eat healthier, better ways to start your day, the ways that various people who seem to have their life together and who seem to be organized are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some really interesting insights from all kinds of people. So we're going to talk in a little while to Zainab Mohammed, who's going to pop by from Kellogg's to talk to us about how everybody has managed to find clues and useful tips and all sorts of other interesting info that helps them to live a more balanced, healthy, and fulfilled life. And it's all powered by Kellogg's All Brand. That's coming up in a little while. So Sanele sent me an email. Do you want to hear this?
Okay. Yeah.
Sanele says, today I'm listening live after a year since the last time. I always download podcasts at work and I tune in while I work. The only problem with listening live is that I can't rewind when I hear a great joke or a great conversation that I want to hear again. The reason I'm listening live is because I'm suffering from crippling depression after a bad fight with my girlfriend, which may or may not have led to our breakup. The sad part is this happened just 2 months before our 1 year anniversary, and she is or was the girl I was going to marry. Sad, he says in Trump's voice. Sad. Yesterday, I couldn't function at work and I kept ignoring my coworkers, which is why today I decided to take the day off and save everyone the misery. With all these chest pains I'm suffering, though, you guys are the only thing that's making me smile and laugh. Thank you for that. Thank you, Gareth, for creating the platform. Your team is there doing an amazing job. I can actually see the influence Sia has had on the show. Before, when Flax was around, the type of guests were different. There were more porn stars and pimps. Sia pushes the boundary in a different way. He came in and now it's more political, current, and underground with guests like that lady who went to jail for money laundering. That's widening the scale in a nice way. That actually makes me think you should rotate producers every few years to keep the show young and different. Overall, great. So, Sia, according to Sanelli, it's
I'll
time
be
for
out
you.
Of a job in like a couple of months.
Right, you're going to move on. This actually makes me think that you should rotate the producers, keep the show different. Overall, great show. Thank you. Side note, I hope Ben is okay. Wherever he is. I once wrote an email which you read live where I said, among other things, that Ben's head is big because he's full of his superiority complex. My thoughts haven't changed, but now I think he's quite smart. Keep that guy on the show. Anyway, keep well, team, from Sanelle.
Sanelle, I hope that you see to your depression, though.
Yeah, you need to talk to someone, dude.
Mm.
It's not, you don't want to mess around with that.
You don't want to battle that on your own.
Right.
Mm.
So there we go. If you're listening to us live again and we can help you in some way, that's part of it, but you need to actually go and seek professional help. And if you do go to a psychiatrist, they can put you on those happy drugs and you won't even know that you've got depression.
Mm.
That's right, huh?
This is a good time.
Yeah, you get on that stuff, you'll be absolutely fine. Imagine how happy you'll be.
I used to be so anti-pills up until I tried me the right sort of combination once.
Really,
when I was sick. No, I had the flu and I was just like, no. I was always very like herbal and I'll drink some hot tea. Oh, girl. I was out for a good like 3 days once. That was great.
All right. And someone else says here that regarding Sia's story earlier about Caitlin and Eric,
mm-hmm.
it was a story about this homeless dude. He found a girl's bag and he returned it to her, and she was so grateful that she started a GoFundMe account and helped him restart his business and get sober and all kinds mm-hmm. of things. So Vinny says, That is a very good example of a woman changing a happy man with no debt and shit into something that she wants him to be. I am sure Eric was quite happy and he loved the drugs. Why would she mess with his happiness?
Oh, guys.
All right. And then morning all, it is Liam that has the baby with Cheryl Cole.
Mm.
Have a fabulous day. Peace and love. Peace and love, Shannon. Correcting us there. Thank you, Shannon. And Carl says that song of Liam Tomlinson is, I mean, of what's his name? Louis Tomlinson is so terrible. I would rather goggle wasps than listen to that again. Sure.
That is quite a description.
Yeah. And Carl also says, my Caitlyn Jenner impersonation is getting much better. Well done, Carl. I don't know what you're talking about because that was Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, she gets through every now and again.
Right. She's always on the line. Mm. We could go to her right now. She's hanging on the line.
We have her on speed dial.
Go to her quickly. Just press that, press line 6. See, I'm sure she's waiting there.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, okay, we don't need her.
No, Caitlyn.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Caitlyn Jenner. All right. Mubs, do you have any important news that we missed out on in the first little bit of this morning?
Well, Gareth, just that Capetonians are becoming even more and more nervous as the city outlines its water plans, which some are describing as murky as the crisis deepens. At least those who can afford it, they need to get used to stockpiling bottled water. This is part of the new normal, as announced by the City of Cape Town earlier this week. They are implementing phase one of its water crisis plans. But while there is now no doubt as to the severity of Cape Town's water problems, there is still considerable vagueness from the city as to how and when its plans are being applied. Essentially, what's going to happen is the new normal is going to see water being shut off to pre-selected suburbs during certain hours of the day.
God. Can you imagine that?
What the city has not revealed is which suburbs will have their taps shut off, as well as when that is going to happen. Now, a number of journalists and media outlets, including the Daily Maverick, have asked exactly this question. Which suburbs have been selected to experience water outages? The councillor, Xanthia Limburg, who is the city's mayoral committee member responsible for water, responded to these questions saying, all suburbs across the metro are being affected or will be affected by rationing to some degree. Water cuts.
Oof. Imagine what that does to the plumbing infrastructure. Now, you know, water is piped around at pressure. That's how it comes out of your tap.
Mm-hmm.
So you open your tap and there's pressure that pushes the water out of your tap, right?
Yes.
If you shut down a neighborhood, you mess with those pipes, you mess with the pressure. Ultimately, if they haven't been maintained and they aren't brand new, the on and off of the pressure is going to eventually cause the pipes to burst. So you're damaging infrastructure by doing this.
And that is exactly what Xanthia Limburg spoke to, Gareth. She said that some water users in higher-lying areas may just feel the effect of pressure reduction more than some who are in the lower-lying areas. Water users in high-rises, double and higher-story buildings may also feel the effects more.
And you also know that certain neighborhoods are going to come off worse than others.
Absolutely.
Right. Anyway. All right. Can I quickly just read a tweet from Andile Mkhitama the other day? I don't normally pay attention to it, but here he says, after the storms in Durban, we must not forget the extreme weather is the creation of the white man.
Oh, okay. You know, I don't know. Like, Andile at this point, he's obviously just like...
I think he's just messing with us.
He's just taking the piss at this point. Like, he's trolling. He's trolling us, right?
Because he says, I blame the storms on white monopoly capital. They have destroyed nature.
Is this the real Andile account?
Yeah. Here it is. We must not forget the extreme weather is created by the white man.
Yeah.
I blame the storms on white monopoly capital. They have destroyed nature.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think he just sits there and he gets bored.
There must be some serious tick.
And then he thinks, how can I upset one or two people today? Oh, I know.
How more can I push the boundary even further?
And then people are saying, the guy is smoking super glue. That's Lucanio. Vovo says that he's telling the truth. Would you be smoking super glue? This thing that I romanticize is global warming. It's caused by pollution, says someone who agrees with him. Someone else says, Andile, learn to walk upright and I'll explain weather patterns to you as a reward. It's just great. So good. I love it. I know this much about global warming, and they put up a picture of him just holding his hands with a very, very small gap between his fingers and changing weather patterns, but I'm going to open my curry hole and brain fart anyway.
Sure.
Like, you have a... God bless you if you even respond to him.
How many people follow him? I'm interested. Let me just go to his account quickly. I don't know if I'm even allowed to follow him. Oh, he's got 75,000 followers. Yeah, even the Hardy Dog. Really.
Yeah.
All right, let's get Zainab in here and talk to her about the brand new day, which of course we've been talking about for a few weeks now. Hashtag brand new day, life hacks that help people live a more balanced, healthy and fulfilled life. It's powered by Kellogg's All Bran. And we've spoken to a number of their ambassadors over the last while about the kind of lifestyle they lead, the way they start their day, the stuff they eat, the stuff that they use as fuel, the way they power their way through having just the right amount of energy to make it through our very, very tough and arduous lives. And we thought it was probably a good idea at the end of this experience to bring in Zainab Mohammed. She is the brand manager for Kellogg's All Brand. She's been with the company for 4.5 years, a lover of food, fashion, and fun. And I thought we'd talk to her this morning just to wrap up this very, very cool discussion that we've been hosting over the last couple of weeks. How are you, Zainab? Nice to see you.
Good, good. How you doing, Gareth?
I'm fine. You're full of energy.
I am.
Hey, Mubs.
You've got to be.
I like it.
I start my day with All Brand every day. I'm telling you, it works.
So you live the brand that you're actually...
I do.
You have to, right?
It's very important. For me, I think it just... It's weird if I'm trying to convince someone else to use something and I don't believe in its benefits.
Correct. It's like those. It's like those people in government who send their kids to private schools. You're like, huh? You know, you should be sending your kids to the government schools that you're in charge of, because otherwise, how can we believe you? But let's talk for a second about the benefits of this. I mean, we've been talking a lot about fiber, but, you know, your body needs a certain amount of fiber for you to be regular and healthy. And a lot of people don't know this, and they eat stuff that's bad for them. And then they wonder why their digestive system says to them, look, I've had enough of you. Yeah.
So actually, Gareth, I don't know if you guys realize, but there's a fiber crisis in South Africa.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so I'm not talking about Telkom fiber, but there's actually a fiber crisis in South Africa. So a recent study that was conducted showed that South Africans are getting only half the amount of fiber that they actually need. So women need 25 grams of fiber per day, and they're only getting 16, whilst men need 35 grams, and they're only getting 18. So there's a definite shortfall within the country. So, you know... Things have changed.
Are there not enough foodstuffs that contain fiber, or is it that we don't have enough?
I think we've changed our diet. Yeah? So we've started to eat a lot more protein at the expense of fiber. So it's not that it's necessarily bad. I mean, protein is also an important source of like food group.
But you need both.
You need both. You need a balance, you know, and that's something we believe at Kellogg's. We believe in a balanced diet. So although we promote our cereals, which are a good source of carbohydrates, we believe in a balanced diet. So right. We also promote that when you have cereal in the morning or you have a good breakfast, you should have a bowl of All Bran Flakes, for example, with milk. Mm-hmm. And you also need to throw in fruit, because that actually comprises a complete meal. Right. So without the fruit, you're not getting all that you need. So yeah, that's what's happened in South Africa. We've changed our diets, we've changed our eating habits, and we don't get enough fiber. And it's detrimental to us. I don't think people realize the importance of fiber. So it's not just about digestive wellness.
Okay, so tell me what it does.
Okay, so fiber has many benefits. Besides digestive regularity, which we promote a lot.
Sure.
You know, it also helps you to feel more energized. It gives you more energy. It can help you maintain a healthy weight. It helps to lower cholesterol levels. It helps to reduce your type 2 blood cells to help you prevents type 2 diabetes. So if you get enough fiber, it helps you to prevent type 2 diabetes. So there's multiple benefits. We just haven't showcased all the benefits of fiber, and I think that's the problem that we're experiencing in South Africa. So we're trying to shift the mindset to bring back the relevance of fiber in this country.
And people always tell me that you have to eat, the first thing you eat in the day is the most important thing. You can't go without a breakfast, because the whole day you're going to be depleting energy that you don't have.
Yes.
And it's a thing that takes some doing because people are always in a hurry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You know, people around the world, globally, nutritionists, dietitians, they all agree that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And we live that at Kellogg's, you know, beyond just All Bran. We have a corporate social initiative where it's called Breakfast for Better Days. And I know we partnered with you guys on it last year and we still do it.
Yeah.
So we feed 25,000 school kids every single day of the year, which amounts to about 5 million breakfast servings in a year.
Wow.
And we believe in the power of breakfast. And you know, when you speak to the teachers over there, they'll tell you that attendance in the schools have gone up. You know, participation in class has gone up. The children actually are learning, you know, results have gone up.
How can we expect kids to learn if they're hungry?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So breakfast is the most important meal of the day. You need the fuel to get through the day.
Yeah.
And I think the other important thing that we forget is when you start the day with a good meal, you tend to follow through for the rest of the day. You know, so that's just me.
Because the foundation is set.
Exactly.
It's
so
true.
I know me. If I start my day with breakfast, and sometimes I am human.
Yeah,
and
of course.
We all
make mistakes.
Human,
go on, admit
I
it.
I might start with the chocolate croissant, you know, which is absolutely delicious. And then I'll be like, oh, I ate bad for breakfast. The day's gone, right? I'll just have pizza for lunch.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? Whereas if I start my day with a bowl of All Bran, then I'm like, okay, how do I continue this? You know, how do I keep my diet on track?
I'm good today. Yeah, we just heard in the news this morning that one of the things that's cheaper now than it was at the beginning of the year is fruit.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, apparently fruit prices have come down this
year.
There's so little that's become cheaper.
Yeah.
So you say you must add some fruit to
this. Yeah, and actually, you know, the way that the All Bran product has been designed, there's a couple of foods that actually enhance the taste of the product.
Yeah?
So anything with a berry note. So if you add blueberries to a bowl of All Bran flakes, absolutely delicious.
Ooh.
Strawberries,
blueberries,
cranberries.
Are good because they're antioxidants too, right?
They are. Well done, Gareth.
We've been
learning over these past few weeks.
We have.
Yeah, but besides that, I mean, even if you throw in a bit of cinnamon, so a dash of cinnamon, wow.
Uh-huh.
Throw in a dash of cinnamon. So the All Bran porridge, right? That is my favorite product out of the range that we have.
Yeah.
You just throw in a dash of cinnamon. Amazing.
Okay.
Amazing.
Who
it makes
known?
My life. Exactly.
See, I'm so useless in the kitchen. That's why when you guys were doing that breakfast where everybody was being so creative and making these amazing things, all I was just stealing other people's ideas and pretending they were mine. I had no original idea.
Yeah. Garrett, that's why we disqualified you from the competition.
I know. And I'm not even bitter about it. It was so obvious I was cheating. I was obviously cheating.
Mm.
But it was fun to see how many people were being really, really creative and different and smart and I suppose also like cheeky about what they put into the breakfast because you can do anything.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be boring. A lot of people think of breakfast as being the most boring meal of the day. Forget about it being the most important. But they do because you always have to do it in a hurry and you know, you don't always have the best ingredients around you and there aren't that many options. People always think lunch, there are thousands of options. Dinner, there are thousands of options, but they actually are for breakfast.
They are. I mean, there's a wide range of cereals. And if I look at All Bran alone, right, we actually created a whole lot of recipes and you can find them on the Brand New Day website. So www.brandnewday.co.za.
Right.
That's BRANNEWDAY. And you can basically throw All Bran into anything from chocolate brownies to smoothies to chicken burritos. You know, the possibilities are endless. And it just also allows you to get to your fiber count within the day. The smoothie recipe, and I know we made it the last time we were here, it is divine. And it's so easy. I mean, smoothies are trend in South Africa, right? You just pop everything into a blender and off you
go.
Absolutely. Throw in some All Bran flakes into there. Throw in some All Bran high fiber. Mix it up with some berries, yogurt, milk, and you are sorted for the day. And that you can actually take in your car, right? I mean, in South Africa, I think traffic is the biggest problem. So everyone's rushing in the morning, and that's why we skip breakfast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or we have the wrong thing for breakfast. But, you know, you can make a smoothie and get into your car and you can drink it while you're driving.
Just don't do what I've done a couple of times and end up spilling it all over yourself first thing in the morning and you don't have a change of clothes.
Wow.
That's a mess. But, yeah, that's exactly the way to start your day because it doesn't have to be time consuming. And, you know, you add a bit of fruit, bit of yogurt, bit of this, bit of that, and you suddenly have something exciting. It's very cool. All right, well, listen, congrats on everything that you guys have done with Brand New Day, and I hope that it's going to help lots of us to figure out a better way to start our day.
It's definitely helped me, I'll say that. Like,
well, Sia eats very little, you can see.
Yeah. But to now say, like, for me, what I really love was getting creative with things. So I even got a blender a few weeks ago and I was just like, okay, let's see what happens. You throw in some all bran, you see what sort of combinations will come out if you use yogurt or if you use honey, whatever the case is.
And have your yoga skills improved?
Yeah, well, Zareda, God bless her soul, but no, it's not going to. In my mind, I'd like to do, you know, the perfect downward dog position. Not yet.
You need to spend a bit more time with Zareda. Yeah. All right, Zainab, thank you so much. It's lovely to see you. And congratulations on everything that you guys are doing to help everybody else start the day, right? Brandnewday.co.za. That's brandnewday.co.za. They've got information about bran and fiber, fun recipes, and all the info that we've been talking about over the last few weeks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Coming up, we're going to give you a replay of Mark Banks, who was on the show not so long ago. Everybody loved this because he was insane. And it was such a different interview. It wasn't really an interview. He just was... You remember,
Mark?
He just took over.
Yeah.
We basically sat here and watched him doing his thing. It was incredible. So that's coming up next. CliffCentral.com. It is just before 8 o'clock. Yes?
Do you want to find out what's going on in the day today?
Of course, yeah.
Thank you. So coming up at 9 a.m., we have The Unview. At 10 a.m., we have The Bounce Show. At 11 a.m., we have The Weekly Mashup. 12 p.m., Unplugged and In Charge. 1 p.m., Future CEOs. 2 p.m., Fashion Lab. 3 p.m., a replay of The Gareth Cliff Show. And 6 p.m., it's Freedom Versus. It's a new edition of that.
All right.
This is CliffCentral.com.